Should be good to go. Let's go ahead and start with roll call. Kate Conrad. You're muted, but here. David Van Allen. Lynn Okun.
Here.
Ann Johnson.
Here.
Jonathan Berger. Maria Moore.
Here.
Elizabeth Rhodes-Reed.
Here.
And John Sukup. Okay, looks like that is everyone. Let's go ahead to meeting minutes. Kate, it looks like you're on mute.
Did anyone have corrections or changes to the minutes? If not, let's have a move to approve.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are approved. Do we have public input today, Sylvia?
We do not have anyone today for public input. So then that brings us to our action item. And Scott Hoke is here to present with me as well. I'll just go ahead and introduce this item as a donation that we've had. Someone would like to donate a piece of art for Hughes Park. This is a project that's already pretty much determined what the piece of art looks like. So the role of the commission here is to either recommend accepting that donation or not. And Scott will tell you a bit more about that project and the piece of art.
Yeah, so thank you, Sylvia. Again, my name is Scott Hoke. I'm the director of Parks and Recreation. I've met a couple of you just out publicly, I think, but I have not been before the group. So first, I apologize for not being before the group yet until this item, but hopefully we will have more in the future, and hopefully we will be in person when life normalizes a little bit again. So, and I will share, I have a meeting after, or kind of as this is finishing up, I'll stay on during the trail discussion just to hear, because the derecho trail kind of talk, but I won't stay on the whole time. So please understand I have another meeting. It's not anything else than that. So, but a little bit about this particular project. We have a donor that is interested in donating a sum of money, donating it to the Cedar Rapids Parks Foundation. And that donor with those funds would be doing a couple things. But just to give you an idea, Hughes Park is one of our newer parks within kind of on the southwest side. It is the old site of the original Hughes Nursery, was in existence there until they moved outside of town. And then the city purchased the land 5 years ago plus maybe. And has done a little bit of development there, but really not much other than kind of a parking lot at this point and some a little bit of infrastructure. So that's the location. That location is pretty void of park property in that neighborhood. There are a lot of houses that are coming up around there. So there's a lot of families that are in that neighborhood. So it is a great location for us to invest in our park property. So and Sylvia, if we go to the next slide, I think you can see this is the park itself. This is the master plan that was developed and approved a few years ago with some community input on what would be there. Not much has happened. Really, the little roundabout, the little parking lot is about the only thing that's visible as far as from things that have happened in that park property in those 5 years. But with this donation, the total donation is $250,000. So it's a very sizable donation for us. And then we have some city CIP dollars invested in the park for this year, as well as we were fortunate to receive a REAP grant for some improvements in the park area. So we will be, with those three things, we are able to really do some nice additions to the park, including a shelter, the ball field, some walking trails, the outdoor classroom, and the birding station, as well as the park was pretty hit by derecho. So start the replanting in the park as well. So the as part of that donation, the donor has requested a specific piece of art that the donor saw. They actually saw a similar piece in at the state fairgrounds, and that's where that the vision for having it here in the park comes from. The location would be in the cul-de-sac little roundabout that's already existing within the park property, right in the middle. It is not an interactive piece, so it is nice that it's fully visible from all the sides as you drive around it. So if we go to the next slide, Sylvia, I think. This is similar to what it would be. It is a full-size horse made out of just miscellaneous parts, right? In discussions with the artist is Steve Huff out of Ottumwa, Iowa, is where he is located. But they are careful to not put, items that are sharp, like that someone might, hurt themselves if they were to get close to the artwork, but it's not designed to be a climb-on piece. So it'd be a full-size horse. Part of the pieces that he makes them with would be pieces that were used at the nursery at the time, and then would also be other pieces of kind of farm reused kind of pieces. So, and then also attached to the horse is the next slide. That is actually a cultivator that was used at that nursery location when it was operational, that would also be incorporated into that piece. And again, it would all be on a large footing, surrounded by landscaped materials. The design would be for uneven rocks around it, so that way it's kind of unstable ground, so not really something that's easily approachable. So that would be on display. Part of the REAP grant includes educational signage, and we do want to tie the history of the park and that property. So there would be educational signage within the park that would explain what the plow was or the cultivator is and how it ties into the park. So that is the plan. But I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. A portion of the donation would be used for the artwork to fund that. And then the balance would be used, of course, to help make some of the rest of the improvements that are already on the master plan. So.
Is there a specific amount for the piece of art at this point?
Yeah, it's 64,000 is the dollar amount.
Okay. And does the donor want this specific person, this Steve Huff, to do the piece?
Yes.
Okay.
The donor has seen Steve's work.
So. Okay. My only concern is there are a, it looks like a piece that someone would like to climb on, because public art, that's what happens with public art, especially when it's a horse. I mean, and these are all metal parts, I'm assuming, that have been welded together.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there a reason specifically for a horse?
It ties to what, again, the history of the park and what was used when the park was open, when the park was open as a nursery. That's how they turned the soil to plant the trees, so.
And does it have to be a horse? I mean, because, okay, the nursery was of trees, and I'm just wondering if Well, I guess I need to also look at Steve Huff's resume and other pieces of work, because I'm wondering if there is something else, since you want to honor the donor and the nursery, if it could be, I just need to look at some of his other pieces of work.
Yeah, and I don't have his card in front of me.
I can look it up, but yeah. My only concern is since it's public art and it's right out there, it's going to attract people that are going to want to sit on it. And, you know, sometimes they can get injured or things can get broken. Even if it's metal, things can get broken.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it kind of makes me think about the park, the sculpture park that I visited in Colorado, where I saw people climbing all over the sculptures.
Right.
And we definitely understand that there will be those that do venture onto it. Of course, it will be signed, you know, but we know how those are read. But it is the desire of the donor to have a horse in as part of this. They have a great affection for horses and how they were used on that site. So that is the wish. So.
Scott, do we have a timeline for the completion of this project or the installation of the art piece?
Yep. So as part of the donation, the additional $150,000 that would be used for the park donation, they are requesting that all of it would be done next construction season. And that would include the funds that we would use toward the shelter and the other improvements in the area. So all of it would be within the next construction year.
So in 2021?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So will that $250,000 basically do a lot of what you want done in the park, or are you going to still need more money?
Well, we can always use more money, but yeah, without it, we wouldn't be able to do some of the improvements that need to be done.
So is there playground equipment already in the park? No. So is that extra money then, under $200,000, going to cover for the shelter, the playground, the plantings, all of that?
Yep. So we have some money through the city CIP and some money through the REAP grant. That would limit what we would be able to do. This, in essence, gets us through the full, almost the full second phase to be able to do these improvements.
So what's going to get done with the sculpture? What else in that first phase?
So the funds will be used for the shelter, some playground. Do you want to go back to the master plan, Sylvia? So there's a shelter that's included. There's some play equipment, so to speak, more of a natural themed playground, climbing rocks, climbing features that are on to the north of the shelter. There's a small ball field in the bottom along Wilson. And then there's a lot of walking trails through the park. Some are hard surface for ADA, and then some up on the north side of the property are more soft surface trails. So that should, we anticipate being able to take care of the hard surface trails, the really just the exterior trail. We wouldn't be able to do all the trails in through the park, but we'd have a perimeter trail through the park. We'd have the, like I said, the outdoor classroom, the birding station, all as part of this next phase with those three funding sources, as well as some tree plantings and a lot of that's going to have to take place. So.
So Scott, let's go back to the climbing conversation. You had said that there would be like a perimeter around the sculpture that was a, you know, kind of an uneven rock space. Yep. And then how tall is that concrete base or plinth that it's going to sit on?
Yeah, it would just be, it'll be sloped a little bit coming up in the plan, but then it would be, again, a little bit of a mound, and then it would just be leveled off at that. So
so the concrete wouldn't be particularly tall?
No, it would look like it was working in that area, you know, pulling all kind of thing.
Okay.
And how big is the sculpture?
The horse is
size.
Full size, yeah.
Okay. I just remember in Beaver Park when they took the fire engine out because of safety hazards. And I mean, this is gorgeous, but I'm just seeing way more safety hazards for the public. I mean, and I don't know. The donation, the $250 for the whole park, that's not, if the horse is not chosen, is the person still going to go ahead with the donation for everything?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. So you mean it's, if the, okay. So it's, okay.
So is it, to address that concern, is there anything that could be done, fencing or something around this whole circle area that would help keep people out of there? I mean, does that make a difference?
I just like.
Yeah, and I think we could put a smaller rail around it. You know, obviously we don't want to block the view shed by any means, but to put something up that would be an extra deterrent could be something that could be added. Along, again, signage is important. You know, and I've been in a couple of different cities that have had the fire trucks that were the homemade, or not homemade, but, you know, they were the old pieces of playground equipment that people used to play on. And yeah, those are, a lot of those got removed because of the moving parts and some of that. So, but those were in there as playground pieces, you know, they weren't there as a public art piece. They were there to be played on, and there were pinch points and, you know, other things that were safety concerns, where this is a little bit different in that it's not designed to be played on too. So.
Right. But people, I mean, I'm just thinking of just, you know, when we do American Gothic or things that would be out on the street or the Herkies, somebody was always,
absolutely,
you know, yep, they knew better, but they would do things to them or get on them or, you know, and the way people, okay, then it's somebody else's responsibility that I've hurt myself, you know.
Right.
Well, and I like the horse. It's really a cool looking piece, but mm-hmm. the fact that it's a horse is almost like an open invitation to, hey, get on me.
That's right.
But I don't think we should let those considerations of people's personal responsibility stop us from supporting something that's beautiful like this and meaningful to the location.
Yeah.
No, okay, but then I who's like liable, horse. Anne?
So from city's perspective, like I said, we would sign it and say, you know, appropriately, and actually probably in a few different languages to you know, please keep off. You know, we're taking a few precautions in regards to the stone. The other thing that I think is important here is where it's placed. It's not near the playground. You know, where it's tempting to run across the grass and get to it, you do have to cross into the parking lot. It's kind of designed that way. So, I mean, you know, if, you know, there's always the talk of the attractive nuisance, you know, what is it an attractive enough nuisance that it would be a problem? Again, we want kids to be safe and everyone to be safe. But sometimes we don't want to give up on the beauty just to keep everything from, we can't bubble wrap everything, right? So sometimes we take those risks when we put things up, so.
I think I would just focus on whatever you think could be done around it, leading up to it, the rocks, the plantings and everything that, if it's done right, it would take a lot for somebody to climb over, try to climb up, because that's a pretty high to get it up there. So I think you could probably do something with the landscaping, the rocks, the fencing, that would be more of a deterrent. I just keep that one point in mind.
Yes. Yes, thank you. That's great feedback, and we totally agree.
Agreed. And I have to say, Scott, this is one of the boxes that we've wanted to tick for, you know, that we've been talking about on the VAC for a while, is to move outside the downtown core and into some neighborhoods where we're placing art that's not downtown. And so I have to tell you, I'm particularly excited to see a nice piece going into a residential neighborhood in a park that's going to be used by people who live in the neighborhood. So I think this is exciting.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to seeing more art in further in other parts of the town as well.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I like the connection with the history there. Mm-hmm. I think the art piece itself is good. All those reasons, as far as I'm concerned, is a go-ahead for me.
Yep.
Well, if there are no other questions, this is an action item, so we're looking for a motion to recommend accepting the gift to council. Not to rush along the conversation, but we do have a couple other guests as well. So,
I so move.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? So it looks like we are all in favor of recommending to move forward.
And make sure the donor recognizes we thank him greatly, or him or yes. Her, whoever.
Yes. And we're excited as well about the artwork pieces. I'm very excited about the donation too. I don't want to lie, right? For the funds, because it really helps us. But to know that, for people to see, to get out there and see it, say, no, that was a donated piece. It helps spread the word a little bit too. So we're excited as well. So and we think it's going to look very good on the site.
Is it anonymous?
Who is the donor?
We haven't released the name publicly yet. So sorry, David, I have not.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I got here late. Yep. Sorry.
At their request, we haven't yet. We might. I'm not saying it won't be, but it hasn't been. They've asked not to yet as we work through everything.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Is the picture that we're looking at, is that going to be what the piece will be, or is it going to be a little bit different?
It will be a little bit different. That's what it's based on. This is the piece that was at the state fair, I think, that the donor saw. But each piece that the artist does is a little bit different on how they do things. So the artist has had pieces out in the public. I was witnessed one of their pieces when I was with the city of Urbandale that he had on display. So he's used to building things that need to be out, that might be grabbed onto and climbed onto. And
I went to his website. If you want to look at some of his pieces, it's Metalscapes by Huffman, and they're really pretty neat.
Yeah.
I put a link in the chat box.
Okay. Yep.
They're stunning. Yes.
This is first name.
Scott, for the presentation.
Yes, and hopefully I will be back soon with another piece. So, or call me if you know of anybody that has one. So,
fantastic! Thank you, Scott.
Okay, I am going to sign off, Sylvia. I do have a 3:30. So,
sounds good. Thanks again. Okay.
Thank you very much.
So that brings us to our discussion items. For this next one, we have another guest, Tamara. Is it Tamara or Tamara? I'm sorry. And I'm gonna go ahead and make you a co-host so that you can share your screen for your presentation.
Awesome, thank you. It's Tamara.
Tamara, okay.
Sorry, I had trouble unmuting.
Oh, no worries. Tamara is with Linn County, and I'll let her introduce herself to this group, and then yeah, feel free to jump into your presentation.
Absolutely. So as Sylvia said, I'm Tamara Marcus. I am the sustainable manager at Linn County. And I started just in the end of August. So immediately, it was the week after derecho. So a lot of what I've been thinking about, has a bit of a derecho theme, I will say. So that's kind of the impetus for this idea that a few folks at the city and myself have been kind of kicking around. So so I'm looking forward to just talking to you with about what we've talked about so far. It's still early stages, so definitely looking for feedback. Maybe, you know, happy to answer questions and talk about what else you might like to see represented in this idea. And so really the, as I said, kind of the inspiration for this is thinking about what the story is, what the derecho story is. And so I know for all of us who experience this, which is all of us at Linn County, you know, a lot of that is loss of canopy, down power lines, damage to homes. But I know also a lot of us saw this, the community come together. And so for a lot of us, that is the story, you know, it is our communities coming together to help each other out. And we saw that by like through cleanup, through handing out, staple items while we didn't have power crews working nonstop, hot meals for people who still didn't have power 2-3 weeks later. And again, just this community effort to rebuild. And so really rebuilding is at the heart, I believe, of this derecho story. And so kind of the idea is that this is a piece of our healing process from this natural disaster, right? So part of that will be replanting, recanoping, and those conversations are happening. But it's likely that we won't see the impact of those efforts, you know, until a decade out, just because of the time it takes for those trees to grow. And so really this, I see this as a potential piece, in that recovery process, combining something that is so much a part of the culture of Iowa, right? Biking. We have these incredible trail systems that are connected, you know, through Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, and beyond. And again, using a resource that we have a lot of, using this wood, making lemonade out of lemons, right? Putting to use this valuable resource in a way that adds to the beauty of our communities. So kind of the foreseen benefits to the community that we've talked about have been, you know, again, part of this post-derecho recovery process, also contributing to the beautifying of public spaces for public good. I put an asterisk here because that is a objective of the VAC. I've read your website, I've done a bit of background research. And then also supporting local artists. Again, asterisk, an objective of the VAC. So not only are we supporting local woodworkers, but we've also talked to Goldfinch and they've agreed to design the route. And then also building community. So we've talked about having carving events for the actual wood carvings. The community could come out and participate in that, talk about, you know, their derecho experience, reflect on the progress that they've made since the disaster. And just again, just building that sense of community that we all got to witness post derecho and keeping that going. And then also tourism. Again, you know, Iowa is a big bike state. I myself have done Ragbri 3 times. It's, again, we're connected to Iowa City. So this is something that can not only help us, memorialize the loss of canopy, the loss of trees that have meant so much to many of us, but also bring in people from outside and give Cedar Rapids something really special to kind of showcase for the rest of Iowa. And so kind of the timeline that we've been envisioning is, you know, through November until March, focusing on the design. So we're working with Clint Hienick. He is a woodworker and Carve Our Way is his business. And so he's really well connected to the wood carving community. He's agreed to help us kind of organize these local woodworkers. The idea would be that we'd have 20 pieces, so about 20 artists to do those pieces. It would likely be a combination of stumps that have, you know, for trees that have already been removed, for trees that have been, you know, optimistically identified as surviving, but then, you know, maybe next season we realize they're actually not going to make it. We'll use some of those trees, and then also some of the logs that have already been cut down can be used as well. And Goldfinch has agreed to do that design. And so we, our team has kind of put together highlighted a few spots that we see, as building into this route. The idea right now is to create kind of a smaller loop within the city of Cedar Rapids, and then ideally extend a longer loop out into Linn County and Marion and Hiawatha area. And then back to timeline. So again, that's kind of the November through March of the rest of this year, beginning of next year, would be spent on that design process, working with those wood carvers, and then also fundraising for commission fees for the artists. And then April and May is when we'd plan to have kind of those carving events where we'd bring out the community. Ideally, you know, hopefully COVID isn't as much of a thing then, but obviously if it is, keeping in mind those social distance precautions. But again, bringing out the community and creating these events around the actual art carvings. So with that, I'll stop talking and answer any questions you might have. And also, again, looking for feedback if there's something that you would like to see represented in this project that I haven't talked about today.
Are there specific things that would be carved? I mean, you usually see bears and, you know, a lot of eagles and all that. Is that just going to be up to each individual artist to decide?
Yeah, we were talking about maybe having a theme. I think for our smaller group, we were happy to just kind of leave it up to the artists. And so because we do have a local wood carver who's organizing those artists, the idea would be that they would kind of work together and kind of be talking about, you know, what each of them is doing. And so maybe a theme would arise from that kind of, from those discussions. But from our end, there wasn't really a specific theme. But again, that could be incorporated easily if that's the direction that we'd like to go.
Is Clint associated with the group that meets in the Cherry Building once a month? It's woodworkers and wood carvers, John Schwarzkopf. And so I just wondered if Clint is part of that group, or, I mean, because that's a big group of people that are really know quite a bit about wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I can definitely ask. What was the name of that group again?
Well, I know it's John Schwarzkopf that's got a woodworking shop down in the Cherry Building.
Okay.
You know the... David, do you know the name of the group? Because they meet there once a month.
It's something or other wood carvers group. might be Linn County, might be Cedar Rapids. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I will look into that.
I really like the idea of this because the whole idea of so many of these trees being ground up and made into mulch just breaks my heart. So if we can use some of these trees that were damaged by the storm and have to be cut down anyway for making art with, I am all for it. 100%.
Carve Our Way has a Facebook page.
He does. And I've also put his website in the chat.
Perfect. Thank you.
Of course.
Am I correct? This is not currently trees that are standing that are have damage that might have to come down that they would then carve, or is it places where you're going to bring in already cut down trees and put a carved tree sculpture?
Good question. So it would be, in my mind, a combination of three. The two that you named, trees that have already been cut down and standing trees, in addition to the stumps. So if you've seen those bigger stumps that, because the way that they've determined what trees are cut down is if they've lost a certain amount of canopy, and if, or if they're leaning at a certain angle. So it's very specific for what FEMA will reimburse for the recovery. And so for some of them, you'll see those massive stumps that, like, it's just the big stump and you're kind of like, why did you leave that if it's on city or county property, you know? But it's because they're, FEMA's only here for 6 months. They're trying to get everything out. So yes, both of those things, and also the stumps that are left. And I think likely what that would depend on is what's available at those sites. Cause you'd want to build, you know, you'd want to build kind of a combination of the route and the carving sites together, right? So you're getting kind of a diversity of structures, but also within an area that makes sense or a loop that makes sense.
And it's on city property where these different trees are being carved?
Versus... So it'd be city and county is the idea.
So is there going to be someone who will somehow go out and mark or do something to make sure that the city isn't going out there and chopping it down and hauling it away before you have a chance to use them?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yep, that's exactly what's happening. So we've been part of the team that's been working on, you know, this early kind of project outline. It is the Cedar Rapids Parks Department. There's a representative from the Parks Department. And then also actually the woodworker, Clint, or wood carver, sorry, he and I are actually gonna, once Goldfinch finalizes that route, we're gonna walk or drive, I guess, that route and mark those trees to prevent just that.
So how much money do you need to raise and what are the artists gonna get paid?
Great question. So for the commission fees specifically, the estimate is around $2,000 per piece. And so for 20 pieces, that's about $40,000. That would not include any costs of, you know, if you had to like put up a pedestal or something, like a structure that the carving would actually sit on. So that wouldn't include that cost. And then the maintenance fee, which would ideally be covered by the city and county, is relatively small, I would say. It's about, I think it was $45 per gallon of the sealant that you need to apply, and you'd need to do that at least once a year, like twice preferably, and then this sculpture should last forever. So it'd be about $45 if you applied it twice a year, it'd be about $45 per sculpture every year. So it's not, that cost is relative, I would say that's relatively minor for maintenance costs, but yeah.
So, and the goal is to actually create a trail so that people know how to go from one to the next, is that
exactly.
It?
Exactly, yep. And so, and you can see how this could, you know, I think it would lay the groundwork for something that you could potentially expand on, right? You could see how you might fit other art pieces along those loops. You could see how you might partner with local businesses to offer, you know, some kind of discount if you visit X amount of spots on the trail, or, you know, so I think it's a project that provides a really solid base to expand over time if that would be the objective of either this organization or others.
do any of those pushpin marks that you had on your map, do any of those land on the bike trail itself?
Yeah, I can pull that up. A few of them do.
Are they on routes that where the streets have been already lined and made accessible, or made with directions basically on where the bicycles go? Are we trying to stay close to those things where bicycles have already been sort of, you know, approved and accommodated?
So you can see, so you know, like the Redmond Park one obviously is on a road that has a bike lane, and so there you'd likely have a few in this downtown area. It's just Cedar Rapids here, but you'd likely have probably at least two or three there, I'm guessing. I know you guys said that you want to try and move outside of Cedar App or of the downtown area, but you know, to having maybe two or three of those sculpture or those carvings, but then also building that out into Marion. And so I know that there's trails that either exist now or are currently planned to expand out that way. So you would ultimately, we're looking for Goldfinch to to build the route around more or less existing trails, or roads that have good bike lanes.
Uh-huh, okay.
And even thinking about there's a tree that it's not on that map, but I was there in the area like a week ago, maybe a few days ago. But the one on Czech Village, at the pavilion, or the bandstand kind of place, that's over. So that would be, you know, a good site to put one, because that's the route that connects to Iowa City, right? So like that, you'd likely put one there because that's kind of like, welcome to kind of the derecho trail, or, you know, so you might put one there. Again, that's kind of why we've asked Goldfinch to design the trail, with us just kind of giving general locations, because they plan routes all the time. This is their area of expertise. And so we're kind of deferring on them to design it with input from our group.
Do you think anybody would be interested in working with a tree that's not vertical? You mentioned earlier about the leaning trees, and maybe even some almost completely fallen trees. That might be an interesting starting point for a sculpture. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a totem pole. Doesn't have to be vertical necessarily, I think. But do you think anybody would want to take that on? I personally think that would be an interesting variation on a theme, to have 45 degree angle sculpture, mm-hmm. or at least that as a starting point, basing a sculpture on those parameters. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, there are some really fascinating sculptures that have come up with trees in all different types of forms. David, if you look on the internet of tree sculptures, I mean, it can be from something really realistic to something abstract, something that is bent, something as incorporated the leftover logs. I mean, I think it's open to all types of possibilities.
Well, the few wood sculptors that I've seen, I know probably more wood workers than I know wood sculptors, but they all talked about having the wood talk to them. The tree would talk to them, or that log would talk to them. And as they investigated, they would discover things. The grain would do this interesting thing, and that would cause a change in the direction of what they were up to. They weren't just trying to carve an American eagle.
Right.
They were out of whatever. They were sort of getting their guidance from the wood itself, or at least, you know, some guidance, you know, at least consulting from the wood.
I'd like to pass along or encourage, as they start putting this together, that we come up with something, carvings that are unique and not the same old. I mean, I've seen wood carvings every place, and they're all kind of all those bears and, you know, bears
and eagles,
raccoons up and wolves. Eagles and... It would just be nice, like you're kind of expressing, it'd be more feel like it was really some neat art rather than the typical stuff you see every place.
Well, I wonder, Tamara, if the group, since we don't really have anything to look at to recommend, you know, adoption or not, if we're interested in the concept, could we get you to come back and show us, you know, like if a theme is developed and that we get something a little more concrete to look at, that you could come back to us again? Would that be possible?
Yeah, I can do that. Is it just like the specific 20 pieces? You just want like what they're going to be? Because I'm going to say that that's going to be something that will take, just for, you know, real, like being realistic about organizing 20 people and getting them all in, getting wood carvers, right? Because it's not like 20 people who work for local government who are used to multiple Zoom calls a day, but 20 wood carvers who are mostly out in their farmsteads carving. So I'm gonna guess it's gonna be a bit of a, I would say at least a month of time of them like naming their pieces. But so in addition to like them naming their pieces, what other specific information would be useful for this group?
I'd like to know to see where the different locations are. I'd like to know if there's any theme that kind of joins it together or not. Not that I'm pushing one way or the other, but I would like to get at least even sketching of some, this is what this artist is kind of thinking, or this is what, so we can get an idea of what they're doing rather than say, sure, go ahead. And, you know, we end up with stuff that looks like
bears. Everything else.
Like everything else.
Well, and so this would be similar to any other art piece on city property. So this group, today we just have it as a discussion item because it's still in pretty much preliminary phases. But like anything else, before anything's finalized, the Visual Arts Commission would recommend on whether or not this piece should be placed on public property. So similar in that way. So we would have something come back to this group when there's a more finalized concept.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to put a punctuation mark on one of the comments that's been made so far regarding subject matter for the sculptures. Personally, I would really like to see something other than the standard stuff. You know, the stuff that people will buy, or the stuff that people will are most, what their expectations are, mostly what they're expecting to see out of a carp, you know, like the eagle and the wolf and the moose and so on. I don't know quite how to put this without sounding like an elite snob, but I want something exciting. I want something interesting. And I think since we're in a preliminary stage here, and we're able to sort of choose the seeds that we plant, I'd like to plant a seed, you know, that, you know, we're looking for something that's interesting, something that's maybe surprising, something that's maybe not the usual occasion thing out of a carved piece. My guess is that some of your carvers will say, oh, that's great. I've been wanting to do this all along, except that, you know, people only accept or only buy this sort of thing or that sort of thing. And there'll be others that will piss and moan and think I'm a feet pinko or something, you know, because I'm trying to raise the bar for what we would be choosing. Anyway, I just...
Well, David, I think there's room for both, because the skill that goes into some of those realistic carvings, it's incredible. So, you know,
well, I'm not talking about realism. Realism's fine. It's craftsmanship, of course, is really a sought after thing here. I'm not trying to put realism down. I'm just the standard subjects.
Okay.
Not so much the technique or the style. Just so that we have something interesting to encounter rather than something that we expect to encounter.
Mm-hmm. So I think we should probably take a you know, kind of a show of hands to say, are we interested in this concept, yay or nay? Because we still have more guests to talk with. And then ask Tamara to come back and talk to us when she's got more.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, let's just...
Yeah, okay.
So we don't need a formal vote on this, but if you guys want to do just kind of a show of hands to see if everyone's on the same page.
Say everybody who likes this. Yeah, so definitely. Okay. We like
So I'm guessing
forward.
Those are all yeses.
Yes.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes.
I also really like this idea, and I'm excited to see this move forward.
Great. Well, thank you for that feedback. And you're right. It is, since it is still early days, there is the ability to plant some seeds. So I will take this these notes back to the woodworkers and follow up with Goldfinch about that route. And once I have more information, I'll set up another time with Sylvia to join you all again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
Yeah, thanks again for the presentation. I'm gonna go ahead and share my screen again. We have one more guest today. We have Jennifer Selby, and looks like Doug Wilson is on as well. just kind of giving you an overview of some changes to the 32nd Street bridge design. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Selby. I'm a project engineer in the Paving for Progress group. So we are working with the DOT next year, so 2021. They're going to do a bridge deck overlay of the 32nd Street Bridge over I-380. And we're doing a joint project with them. We're also going to replace the pavement at both ends of the bridge and do new traffic signals. But as part of their bridge work, we wanted to make some aesthetic improvements. Did you say you had a picture of the existing bridge, Sylvia?
I do, yep, this is what it looks like.
That's the bridge now. It just has a
silver chain link
fence on it. So since they're doing this bridge deck overlay, we just wanted to take the opportunity to replace that fence as well. And then eventually, as they do more of these bridge projects, we would start replacing all of the fences. So if you want to go ahead and go to that next one picture. So that's an image of what it would look like as you're looking from the interstate. So the idea is to kind of mimic the arches of the bridges downtown. And that's what the arches are for there. We do have some restrictions as far as, if you look there, so you see we have those like little square pieces that are behind. That's so people can't shove stuff down onto the interstate. So we do have height restrictions and opening restrictions there that are gonna be on that backside. But this is what we're looking at doing. There will be something similar at Tower Terrace Road in the future. And then, as I said, as other bridges have improvements, we would look at replacing all of the fencing and making it look nicer. So, does anybody have any questions?
My only question is,
can we paint that bridge too? I think that green color is really ugly.
I was just gonna say that. Underneath. On that first picture, can you paint that out black instead of
Maybe have some fun with the paint too.
Something rubbing.
Bright red.
Red. Red would be good.
Paint it some other color than that green.
Hi, this is Doug Wilson. And, you know, we did ask about, you know, that. Unfortunately, it hasn't been too long since they painted these beams. Oh. But the Tower Terrace Road new overpass that they're going to be building with that interchange includes kind of a brick red look to it. Those beams will be a brick red. And so what we've asked is that when they do paint these in the future or any other of the overpasses, that they go to that brick red color. So we have some continuity with that new bridges that is gonna be at Tower Terrace. And then this is the railing that we would put on each of the overpasses. So it'd only be on Wilson Avenue and then there on the 7th, 8th Avenue bridges downtown. Otherwise, and possibly, you know, out on the 76th overpass. So that's where we'd be looking at these, just making it look a little bit nicer than that chain link that's out there now.
Yeah.
So I noticed that they have been working on the Wilson Avenue overpass for quite some time. Is this what they're doing to it then?
That was actually an emergency repair out there. They are not, it's not part of an overall deck improvement project. So they're just putting that fence back. But I would expect that, you know, over the next few years, they'll continue to do these deck overlays to extend the life. So not this year. Mm. Any other questions, folks?
So how is the railing piece, the sort of aesthetic improvement, being funded?
We're using some of our road use tax for it as because we would have had to replace the chain link fence no matter what when we were doing the work, because we need to improve the accesses on both ends for the pedestrians. So we're using some of the road use tax for that. Paving for Progress pays for the pavement repairs and replacement.
Great, thank you.
if there are no other questions or comments, this one was just kind of a discussion item to let the commission know what's going on here. So thanks again, Jennifer and Doug, for presenting.
I'd like to see color-coded bridges. So like every one of the bridges that you're going to get around to has a different color, just because that's more fun. And who knows, maybe somebody would use that color coding to actually, you know, be able to communicate with others about where they are or something. I'm on the red bridge or not the green bridge though. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's a little bit frivolous, but, yeah, it would sure be nice to have, it would certainly sort of raise the sort of the at least one eyebrow when people come into town. Raise an eyebrow.
Okay.
Well, David, we can certainly carry that forward for you. Well, but I'll mention that.
Okay. Thanks.
You know, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially at this stage of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's time to start looking at how we can make these things look better. We're stuck with that bridge the way it is, but there's things we can do to certainly make it look better than it does.
Well, thank you for even considering making the aesthetic improvements. I think, you know, cityscapes are important.
Well, thank you guys for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. And then we are running kind of short on time. The last thing we had on the agenda today was the 2021 work plan discussion. I can pull that up and we can take a look quickly. But since we are running short on time, we could also, I could email you a draft and get comments. I did go through our goals from last year to look at which ones we've accomplished, and we've accomplished quite a few. So that's good news. I think one of the biggest things next year is going to be the visual arts master plan. And hopefully we can get started finding a consultant for that pretty quick here. But probably the best way to handle this is for, I kind of have a draft started, but I can kind of flesh this out a bit more and email it to the group for comments, and we can take a look at the December meeting.
Sounds good.
Yep, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the last item we have on the formal agenda. I think it brings us to updates and announcements, if anyone has anything.
I've never known you guys to be so quiet.
I could use a sculpture right outside my window here. That would be nice.
Nothing on the pocket part, I take it.
So we did get the panels on the fence installed last week at the Pocket Park. And we will be getting the banners up on the wall either, I guess probably not late this week anymore, because it's Thursday and I haven't heard, but early next week is what we're looking at from what I've been told. And then I have a contractor on board to pour the pedestal for the sculpture in December.
That'll be a concrete. That'll be a concrete pedestal that'll be formed in place.
Yep.
Okay.
Sylvia, are we planning some publicity for that Pocket Park?
I think that we should once it's all finished. Yeah, I can get in touch with someone from UFG and maybe someone from Cobble Hill and see if they want to kind of collaborate on that. I mean, with COVID and also winter, I don't know how much of an event exactly that will be. But I'd definitely like to get press release out and photos.
Emphasize the local artists. I think that was... Mm-hmm. You know, something that we wanted to do to counter some of the comments that we got on the Fleming piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to do an event in the spring? Because right now, you know, Linn County is just
a mess,
ablaze, and you know, but a nice article or some photos in the newspaper would be good. Let's not do an event until it's a lot safer for people.
Yeah, totally agreed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, something in the paper or on social media would be fine.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I was thinking as well. And since the art is kind of coming in piecemeal with the installation, just, you know, once it's all finished up, I feel like a press release to announce that and... Yeah, some kind of event in the spring, or maybe even whenever COVID is over someday. you know, we do like a broader event.
Maybe like January 20th? No.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It'd be nice if we had some outdoor dining weather.
Mm-hmm.
We had it last week.
We did. Yeah.
But it might be a while to talk to Cobble Hill, Sylvia, to let them know that at some future date, they might want to start thinking about what could they do if it was not as bad with the COVID in the spring. Mm-hmm. It could be an outdoor, safer event that they could maybe be tied in with.
Yeah, I will get in touch with them. And I've been in touch with them on the installation schedule just so that they're aware that something's going to be going on right above their patio. So I've been in touch and yeah, I think it would be nice to plan something for the spring or whenever the situation looks a little better.
Other announcements? Anybody else got anything to share? I think we should get together on Zoom for a glass of wine at the end of the year because we had a great year this year, you guys.
Yeah.
We accomplished a lot.
Amazingly. Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. I agree.
Shocking considering it's 2020.
Right?
We're getting close to the end.
Hey. I hope so.
Yeah, well, we could schedule a Zoom happy hour for maybe after the next meeting.
That sounds great.
I think it does sound great.
Yeah. It's on my calendar.
I'll bring the wine. And you're in charge of snacks.
Oh, gotta bring the wine.
Yeah, I think that would be fun, you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay.
Just one quick thing. I did post some of my photographs of the Fleming piece on Facebook just to see what people would say. And people were like really delighted about it. So
nice. Awesome.
Yeah. No one said, I can't believe you guys did this. So.
Good.
Well, someday when people can come out again, when we can leave our houses and actually go to public places, I think once people start to get out and actually take a look at it, I think it's going to get a good reception.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything in the Gazette about it yet. Did I miss that?
I think there was a short piece about it.
Yes, there was a right photo was on a Saturday, that back page on Saturdays a couple of weeks ago, David.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of photos or something.
Hmm. Huh.
Yeah, and that's another one where I think we should plan for a little bit more of an event whenever it's safe to do so.
We'll
save up all of our events.
Somewhere.
We'll have to do it for a hangout. We'll do an art hop.
We could do an art hop.
Yeah.
So that you could do, like, if there's a bar nearby, you could just do sort of like a crawl from art piece to art piece.
There you go.
Remember
when we used to do the gallery crawl?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
How about if we do like a new art pieces or art pieces scavenger hunt in Cedar Rapids?
Perfect.
Well, between the Pocket Park and Fleming's, and if the horse thing is done by next, say, fall.
I used to do that, Maria, in my intro to art class when I taught intro to art. Yeah. I sent the whole class out on a scavenger hunt to locate, not all of them, but, some number.
Oh, yeah, we used to do that, too. Can you find these pieces?
Yeah.
Cool.
Good.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I think we should let our one paid staff member go do something else, Sylvia.
Yeah, thanks everyone. Good to see you.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Bye. Thank
you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Everyone.
Stay safe.
Yep.